Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside...
Airman First Class Rosie Garcia.
Girl, you're going to have to speak up. These people want to hear you. They want to feel you. We are here with Airman Garcia. This is her first time. Like I told y'all before, we're just going to rotate through all my PA airmen because they all want a taste of this. So go ahead, Rosie. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I am from Houston, Texas. I was raised in Texas, but I'm originally from Mexico City. I have a four-year-old son, and yeah, I love running, I guess.
Yes. What an interesting story, Rosie. You're also married to a Navy dude, huh?
Yes, I am. Retired now. So yeah, I would be retired by now too, but you know, mm-hmm. I decided to join.
Garcia joined a little bit later in life. Okay. We won't say her age on broadcast, but
it's okay. I'm 32.
Okay. There you go. I don't want to offend anybody. So she joined a little bit later, but her husband's about to retire 20 years of serving the Navy. So now the roles are going to be reversed. How weird is that for y'all?
He's ready to be a dependent.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, yes, I can go to all the stores and shop around and then go home, take a nap and do it all over again the next day.
The life ambition. My yeah. God. Yeah. No, I'm about to be in the same boat. My husband's about to retire. And he said he wants to be the stay-at-home dad, like making the lunches and dinners. And I'm like, I'm all here for that. I love that so much. So as a mom, does it worry you that you have to deploy and leave your little boy?
It does worry me, but that's something that I already knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I kind of already set my mind for it. I'm not saying that being a mom is a bad thing, but sometimes you just need a little break.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Which is part of the reason why I joined. Like, I did not want to be a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. I didn't want to just be, you know, dependent. So I'm like, this man is about to retire. Like, I need to do something. Like, I can't stay home. So, yeah, that's part of the reason why I joined. I just wanted to do something different.
And what better way? Like, you're also serving your country.
Yeah.
You're part of the 1% of the country now. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'll just do my time and then get out.
Yes. I sincerely believe every single person in this country should have to do that. Because you don't understand the sacrifices that are made by the service members until you actually go through it yourself. Just my personal opinion. You're PA, but you didn't want to be PA.
Yes. I didn't want to be PA. I chose the job as my last option. Like, my recruiter said, go ahead and pick 10 options of the jobs that you have available. There was quite a few, but in case that people don't know, now it's like they give you a list of jobs that are available that month. So you have to pick within those jobs that are available within that month. So I picked, and like PA was offered to me like 4 times before he kept saying, yeah, this is a good job. And I was like, no, I don't
want to do social media and write stories.
And he's like, you qualify for it. I'm like, I know I do, but I.
No, thank you.
Yeah. And then, you know, as time passed by, I was just like, okay, we're getting ready to be at like 6 months of just waiting. And I haven't really picked up anything. So he said, the longer you go, the harder it is for you to pick a job. So try to fill in your 10 spots.
Yeah.
So the first time I filled out my 10 options, I picked PA as the last one. And literally like... 2 weeks later, he's like, congrats.
You're like, no. Yay.
And I was like, oh.
Wait. Tell everybody what your number one was.
My number one was actually Intel. It was
crazy.
Yeah. It was, I can't remember the name of it. It was something with like, I can't remember the name, but it was Intel. Like, it was an Intel job. And that's what I was waiting for.
So you're telling me you'd rather be locked in a vault for 12 hours a day? you said that too quick. Yes. Okay, so Intel, if you want an airman, come get her. She's over here waiting for y'all.
If you... I hate having to go to photo shoots, and obviously part of our job is to
socialize
and talk to people, and I'm just like, how awkward is this for me? Like, I feel awkward just doing it. But I mean, I have to do it, so I just force myself to do it.
Look, it's helping you like break out of your comfort zone. Yeah.
That and the writing part.
Writing is a little tough, but I think our job is the best. I am also an introvert, but I can turn it on and turn it off. Unfortunately, when I turn it off, don't call me, don't text me. I'm peopled out for the day because of what we do for a living.
I was just going to say that. You know, I'm an introvert, but a lot of people get that misconception that introverts don't socialize, don't talk. And that's not completely true. Like, you're able to do it, but then it comes to a point where it's like, okay, yeah, I've given you everything that I have. I need to go and like recharge. Yes. Otherwise, I'm not gonna be able to go and do it again.
It is hard to turn off sometimes, but it's absolutely essential if you're an introvert.
Definitely. I go home and I literally turn everything off and I'm just like
a zombie.
Yeah. I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear. I don't want to talk. I just just want to be on my own.
You know, mine got to the point so bad. Like when my husband was in Korea and I was just single momming it up, I would go to work all day long and then I'd have to go pick them up from school. I'd have to run them to whatever sport they were in, both of them, on my own. And then we would get home and they'd be like, what's for dinner? So I came up with this thing called Fend for Yourself Night, where I don't care what you eat. You want to eat a bowl of cereal, by all means. You want some ramen? Go make it yourself. So now they look forward to Fend for Yourself Night.
Don't give me any ideas. My son is only 4, but I'm already keeping mm-hmm. that in the back of my mind.
Since you have a son, he's going to kindergarten, isn't he?
Yes, he'll be starting school August 10th.
So you need to go to the back to school bash that's happening on base. It will be July 31st. It's in air conditioning this year, everybody. I hope everyone heard that. Usually it's outside with like bouncy castles and all that good stuff, but they're doing a supply drive. So if you need school supplies for your kiddos, you need a backpack for your kiddos, they have everything there, and they will also have the school liaison there to talk to if you have questions. So everybody should go to that. Okay, anyway, everybody, let's talk Tyndall things. So one thing that we didn't super announce because we're just waiting for the entire community commons open is the bowling alley's open. They did a soft launch. So if you would like, who doesn't love to go cheap bowling? They're going to be open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'd assume once community commons opens up, they'll have more days of being open. But yeah, so we have that open. We still have the base pool that's open. Take advantage of that before the summer's over. And just as a reminder, Tyndall Connects is coming up in September. We want to get as many clubs, groups, organizations, anybody who wants to participate in the Tyndall Connects, reach out. You can either reach out to the IRO office or you can reach out to our office if you have questions. Just let us know that you're interested in participating. That event's going to be on September 24th from 11 to 1, and it's going to be held here on base. And it's all about bringing people together so that they feel connected to some type of community. Because in suicide prevention, being connected to anybody, any group, is the number one deterrent for suicide. We do have many, many people that are enthusiastic about being on an episode of the podcast, and I'm all here for it. I don't care who you are. If you have a cool story and you are from Tyndall Air Force Base, by all means, email me. There are 2 Jennifer Jensens on this base. I am number 13, so just remember that. Just email me if you want to tell me a cool story, if you have an airman, I don't know, who has a cool backstory, anything. Like, people love hearing average airman stories. That's what we want. We love our leaders, but the airmen get way more pickup on the podcast. Anyway, we have two special guests that are new to Tyndall Air Force Base, or new-ish. We have our new base commander, Colonel Ryan Thulin, and our new command chief, Chief Mass Sergeant Eric Benson, and they are our new guests for this episode. Are you nervous, Rosie, to interview the two of them?
Maybe just a little.
Yeah. I think you'll do great.
You let me know.
I will, for sure. Definitely constructive criticism afterwards. But stick around, everybody, and we'll be right back with our new commander and command chief.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website, tyndall.af.mil.
Welcome back, Lightning with 5 listeners. We are here with our two very special guests, kind of new to Tyndall. We have our brand new wing commander, Colonel Ryan Thulin, and we have our new command chief, Chief Mass Sergeant Eric Benson. Welcome to the show, sirs.
Hey, thank you so much for having us. This is it's my first podcast. I'm excited to try it out, that's for sure.
Great. So why don't we start out by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, awesome. So Colonel Ryan Thulin, my call sign is SCAR. I am a pilot by trade. I flew the F-16 to start out in my career. I got my wings in 2006 and then transitioned over to the F-35 in 2015. So I feel lucky in that I've been with the F-35 program for a significant amount of time. My wife likes to remind me that I'm more of an F-35 guy than an F-16 guy, which is hard for me to hear because your first airplane has a special place in your heart. And so it's like, oh man, no, I'm an F-16 guy. Yeah. Nope, you're an F-35 guy now since I've been in the program since 2015. But I feel very lucky to have been chosen for the program early because I got to see the jet start from Block 1B, which had a very restrictive flight envelope. We're talking 3 Gs and 17 AOA.
Wow.
All the way till now, where it is the premier air dominance platform that the Air Force has, evidenced by obviously the current operations going on.
Yeah. And Chief Benson, you've been here for a little while, right?
I have. I got here last year as the MSG SEO.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to learn Tyndall a little bit before being thrown in the hot seat. So I appreciate that head start.
Right. And you've been in for a minute. I mean, assumingly a
Thank
chief
you
has
for kindly calling me old. Yes, I've been around for a while. Actually started in the Army Guard I was at the University of Minnesota to help pay for school. Did that for a few years. My brother joined as a defender, and so they opened a window to let me cross over, and I took that. I was out in the field collecting ticks in the rain and the misery, so I was like, yep, Air Force looks really good. I just shared at the all call that I've never actually been to Lackland. I went straight to tech school. It was a pretty unique start.
Wow.
It was fun. And so off to the races with POL, refueling aircraft growing up. So it was super fun being on the flight line a lot and getting that experience. And then been to Korea a couple times. We love to travel, and the Air Force has sent me all over the world, whether I wanted to go or not. And so it's been awesome. I got 3 kiddos, right? So 16, about to turn 14 in a few days, and 11. I think they've been to over 20 some countries.
Oh my gosh.
Nice. We maximize being in Europe. We like to travel and get out and do stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's been awesome, kind of helping them shape their perspective on things in general.
I love that. They're going to be so cultured when they grow up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're spoiled. They don't know it yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I first looked at your list of assignments from the all call, I was like, oh man, Colonel Thulin's had some pretty good ones. Your list was not that glamorous. As Colonel Thulin. Yeah.
I just visited. I didn't get to live there. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of all call, you had your first ever all call today with the entire wing. Well, some of it, right? We have another one later today. But let's just talk about what are your priorities and what you... your top mission for the 325th Fighter Wing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was lucky enough to have some time on the day of the change of command with General Beamer, the 15th Air Force commander. So he came down and gave Chief and I initial feedback, gave us the 15th Air Force priorities. And our mission here at Tyndall of projecting combat air power was directly aligned with the 15th Air Force priorities. His priority is readiness. And we generate readiness here at the Checkertails, and we do it extremely well while simultaneously building the base of the future. Those are not easy things to do for any of the airmen, regardless of what your job is. Yeah. Combining those two things is very, very difficult. So I see the next 2 years as us actualizing and acting on that readiness with the revolutionary changes in how we present forces to the combat commanders. The Checkertails are going to participate in almost all of the options of the changes the Air Force has made to present those forces to the combat commanders. We are going to do those things within the next 2 years. So I'm excited to build that readiness to sustain and capitalize on what the previous leadership teams have already done. And to see it in action is going to be incredible, watching us project combat air power out of Tyndall.
Yeah. I think the biggest question, we did reach out to like a couple of airmen, and they're overall, like when they're brand new and they don't really know how to Air Force, right? their biggest thing is like, what would you define readiness as? Like, are we getting ready for war? Are we just getting ready for the worst situation? Like, what is that in your words?
Yeah, it's great. You can break readiness down into all the way down to the individual. So individual readiness, I said it in the all call earlier, is mastery of your primary job duty, of your craft. Be good at your job, grow where you're planted, to use a platitude there. If you have a solid baseline in whatever your primary job function is, that's going to start your readiness at the individual level. And then as you come up to the unit level, you go, hey, our readiness is to absorb and absorb three levels, absorb brand new wingmen into the CAF, make them four-ship flight leads and everybody in between, so that when we get the call to go and execute the mission that the national leaders need us to do, those airmen are ready. They have a foundational readiness in the job that they are trained to do, and they can go deploy to employ whatever it is that their job duty is. And then there's also crisis response readiness. Mm-hmm. We talk about major combat operations, which if you're watching the news lately, it's exceedingly obvious that we need to be ready for crisis response to answer the nation's call. We are also in the breach starting in June at the latest until October here on the Emerald Coast for hurricane season. That is a form of readiness as well that reaches all the way down into the families, the children, obviously the airmen of Tyndall, to be ready in case we need to execute some sort of response to a hurricane in the local area. So I think I'd break it down with those three areas is what readiness means to me.
Some of it's a mindset too. So I think over the last decade or so, we've gotten into a rhythm, maybe even longer than that because things have slowed down a little bit, but you know you're going to deploy not 6 to 9 months out, right? And you have time to wrap your head around it. You're given checklists, this, that, and the other. As we do a readiness, the core of your job is one thing, but also thinking about the second, third order things you need to worry about. You know, are your finances good? Is your family good? Do they have a plan? All of those things. And then, okay, you have your core job, but like if I'm going into, it's okay to watch the news and see what your teammates are potentially doing and start preparing your head for that space. And so do I need to, where I could potentially go, what do I not know? And where can I start asking questions and fill out some potential blind spots? Because that what they don't know for a brand new airman versus a five-year staff sergeant or something, are there going to be different requirements? Mm-hmm. And it all starts with them on taking a look in the mirror and be like, what do I think my challenges are? And do I start with my boss or somebody else to help me fill it in?
Right.
Chief, I'll add that the AEW 2.0, the Air Expeditionary Wing 2.0, is one of those foundational changes in how the Air Force is presenting forces to the combatant commanders. That down at the individual airman level presents an opportunity to train with the team that you are going to deploy with. So now your frontline supervisors, your leaders, your shop chiefs, your OICs can provide that why. They can go, hey, this is what we're doing. Here's the date that we're doing it. And potentially here's where we're going to go. And here's why I need you to put this gas mask on. Here is why I need you to do these hard things. Number one is training. Number one is building esprit de corps and that teamwork that is going to make American airmen win in future combat. So I really do see that as an opportunity to get after what you articulated really well.
So another big, huge thing that we talk about every month on this podcast is the construction. So the two of you could potentially I emphasize potentially, see the end of the installation of the future construction. What does that feel like to possibly be that team, that command team, to finalize everything and just push forward after road closures and brand new buildings and all the things?
I see it as an opportunity to really actualize and see the fruits of so many fine Americans, both in the military, government, civilian, contractors, the local community. There's been so much work, so many blood, sweat, and tears put in to building the base of the future. And for us to able to present that to the airmen of Tyndall, to present that to the Tyndall community, the Panama City community, I see that as just it's an honor to be able to lead that, hopefully to success and all the way through. Even if it's a simple way to say thank you and to literally stand on the shoulders of the giants of the people that came before us that gave us this opportunity to be able to complete all these projects.
Yeah.
I just haven't been here the last year and living through the change on Monday morning, finding out the route to work has changed.
Yeah.
Right. But the amount of change and how fast some of it's been able to happen is been awesome, right? And so I think some of that's change fatigue or construction fatigue, whatever you want to call it, right? People they see this and that, like, we're upset or we're frustrated, dates are delayed. And some of it's kind of context, right? And so some traveling to some other installations fairly recently and getting back and seeing the old facilities that they're in, mm-hmm. or just because they have an established base, traffic still sucks, or, yeah. Right, they're having their own problems. And so sometimes we forget about that and put it in context. And so coming back, I had a new appreciation for our facilities. And so we're not into all of them yet, and they're not perfect, but they're pretty darn nice. And so I think if we keep looking at the greater picture and the advancements that all of this hard work that the boss talked about is going to give us, instead of just the things we're not happy with or they weren't perfect, we're going to be in a great place in the next year or so.
Yeah. I've been here for going on 5 years now, and man, the changes. When we moved into this building, I appreciated it.
Yeah.
I didn't complain about the traffic anymore. I didn't complain about the road closures, because once you're in one of the new buildings or even a renovated building, you're like, this could be so much worse. There are so many bases that are still stuck in the 50s, you know. I think Team Tyndall is going to be like a very desired location for brand new airmen, especially with those dorms. Those are crazy. I would have done anything to live in those dorms.
I chose Tyndall because of that. I know that there was construction and I saw the pictures online and I'm like, that gym is so nice.
Mm-hmm.
That chapel is so nice. Everything that is coming up and their building is so nice. Like, I want to be there. And then going to the beach is so nice. Like,
yes.
Everything is nice in here.
I think we'll be definitely in ideal location. I mean, we're already in Florida, so it's like everybody.
I came from
wants
a base that was built in 1890, so I'm appreciating it all.
I got a chance to tour the community commons, and it's the same thing you guys are talking about. That facility is so nice. Walking distance from the dorms, the capabilities that are going to be in that building, it's incredible. So I'm very excited to see those open up. I think it also helps with the airmen that are currently in temp facilities. If mm-hmm. you can go see your new facility that you're planning on moving into, mm-hmm. it at least gives you a light at the end of the tunnel to go a little bit longer and we'll get in this new beautiful facility. And I think that helps out with the morale in the units.
Absolutely. And Community Commons should be like the overall grand opening should be happening soon. We've soft opened the bowling alley, but I know so many airmen that are looking forward to that. Just having places to go to have either morale days or somewhere to hang out with their other fellow dorm airmen is like the highlight of the year, I think. So we can't wait to let y'all know when that happens. So I did ask a lot of airmen for most of these questions because I don't want to be the one asking questions, because who am I? I'm just a crusty civilian. So they wanted to know leadership philosophies. You talked a little bit about it at your all call. So they're either molded by fantastic leaders or terrible leaders. Without naming any names, what is your leadership philosophy, and like what experiences put you to your ultimate belief?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think one that you could do an entire podcast on that one question. I'll tell you, I've been incredibly lucky throughout my career that if you forced me to name a bad or something I took from a bad leader, it was really tough. It's tough to think of a bad lesson. So I've had the luxury of being able to choose good lessons and incorporate those into the leadership philosophy that I sent out to the command teams there. I think the one that strikes me the most, it's a little bit squishy, but in that, hey, my leadership style and my philosophy is not necessarily built on authority or position or rank. It's bent on, is based on my morals, mm-hmm. the things that my parents instilled in me and the Boy Scouts instilled in me and the Air Force Academy instilled in me that make me who I am. That is my style. That's my philosophy. I would much rather lead in a team environment that's collaborative than an overly hierarchical structure. Obviously, we're in the military, so we are a hierarchy, and we must be that way for very specific reasons. But if I can lead using my morals and my compass and the things that make me, it's much more authentic, and I think the airmen can really see that. And they see that you're acting in their best interest. You may not be doing what they want at all times. Mm-hmm. They may tell me to go left and I may go right. But if they can at least see that it's genuine and that I have their best interests at heart and I'm making the best available decision with the information that I have, I think that comes across as a very effective leadership style.
Love that.
If I had to pick one specific example that can ruin a shop, right, is the lack of accountability, or a leader that isn't willing to do the work. The you go do it, but I'm too good for it. And that often plays into environments where there's no accountability and or favoritism, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those are all baked into a same thing. And unfortunately, I've seen that in different ways. I studied real hard back in the day so I could not have to work for those people. I've been really blessed the last few years working for some amazing leaders. Up at J-Bear, First Wing Commander is now General Aguilar, and she had a phrase that she would say it all the time, was just be a good human, mm-hmm. right? And you can branch that into any facet of that question, right? Yeah. And so if you're doing that and you're truly caring, you might not be able to tell people what they want to hear, but you can deliver it with the why, right, and the understanding and the transparency mm-hmm. that you've heard them. I can't give you what you want, or I'm gonna have to tell you to do something that you think sucks, but here's the why, and I'm doing it because I'm unwilling to, or whatever, right? And so right. that communicates a different message, mm-hmm. a different culture of being able to do that stuff, right? Because a lot of things we do keep be labeled as they suck. It's yes. hot, it's hard, it's yes. all the things, right? And so we can embrace it from a CrossFit term, like embracing the suck, right? And yes. so you can embrace the suck when you know the why. Mm-hmm. And some of that why, and that your leader that's telling you to do that hard, undesirable thing actually does care about you and are telling you for a reason.
Right? Yeah.
And seeing leaders from above the wing level on down that truly embody that is inspiring and encouraging to carry that water, right? It's not just platitudes and conversations. They truly believe it.
Yeah. So. Love that.
So I do have a question. It's a little bit about it. I think it's a good spot to ask this question. Sir and Chief, what is your preferred method for receiving unfiltered feedback from junior enlisted tier? And how can we better communicate challenges up to the wing level?
Yeah, it's a great question. You'll hear me brief this in the all call throughout today. I come from a background where open, honest, frank, and tactful feedback is a must. You have to do that. Although, so you can get better next time,
right?
Based on the resources we just spent, whether it's an airplane, whether it's a simulator, whatever it may be, That feedback is a must. You take the rank off in the debrief room and you go, hey, sir, you messed this up. Here's how you get better next time. Don't do that again. And if you don't do that, it's looked very, very poorly upon. using the chain of command, as trite as that sounds, is a really good way to provide feedback, because you give the frontline supervisors the chance to coach and mentor based on that feedback, and they can get feedback on what's going on in that shop. Where is this piece of feedback coming from? They can get the answer that's tailored for that unit. Obviously, use the chain of command as appropriate, and there are a bunch of agencies around the base to provide that feedback, including try to meet the airmen where they are, right? If you want to provide feedback via social media, we have methods to do that. If you want to provide feedback via the internet, we have methods to do that. So trying to meet the airmen where they are and get that feedback through the method that they're most comfortable with. If it's a note passed under chief's door, if it's a bar napkin with writing on it that's passed to me, all those kind of things of the sentiment being meet the airmen where they are, get the feedback, get a good sense of what's going on down in the unit so you can affect a change and make things better.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of raw comments, whether I'm hanging out with a defender at the gate or just having an airman call or just randomly having a conversation. And truly value that. I just ask that you're not pulling those zingers for the random visit. And you haven't also, voiced those in other lanes. Let your organizations try and help. And if you're banging against the wall and you think there's nothing else, I'm all about getting engaged. And let me know. Colonel Bergthal too, but we'll be having different tier conversations where we're meeting with just airmen or just NCOs and such, and those being unfiltered conversations where the folks are wanting to get into that conversation so we can have those talks, those are valuable moments that we don't have to just be when we're present. And I know some my peer groups and the other senior NCOs across the base are doing that, but if you think you're not being heard, there's nothing wrong with continuing to ask and continuing to advocate. But to affect change, a lot of times we need a full sight picture. We need data, and people can be emotional, and that's valid, right? You're feeling a certain way and you need to be heard. But at the same time, sometimes you got to take a pause and collect some facts and collect some data. And so we can't action on emotion. We can action on data. And so I just ask that take a breath and flush out your thought or your process and elevate and keep squeaking, be the squeaky wheel.
Yes, I definitely agree with you. I know that we had a conversation, at least in our PA shop, where we said we have to advocate for ourselves. As airmen, we have to advocate to our leadership about ourselves. Anything that we want to get done, we need to say what we want. And I know that you mentioned something about meeting with airmen, like maybe at the gate or something like that. So I have a question for you, Chief, which is, what is a difficult truth, if any, you've heard from a junior airman recently? And how did it change the way you lead?
One coworker. So we're in a fish bubble. Any leader is. I feel just like the fish bubble gets smaller. So sometimes you don't think about your resting face, and I'll leave it at that terminology. Or your demeanor, you're not even thinking about it, but somebody's looking at you, and they're like, I don't want to talk to him. Right. Thing. And so I swear I'm a nice guy, but sometimes maybe I'm not. Don't look happy. Don't be scared.
Your official photo looks pretty scary.
Maybe tell me to smile. That's not my fault. And I lectured on the daily.
We can always retake it.
We may have to. There's a printing call. I don't want to do that.
So this could be for both as well. How do we shift our Wings PT culture from training just to pass a yearly test to true year-round combat fitness?
I feel like you've talked about this a couple times.
Yeah, and you'll hear me continue to beat the drum on this one. I think one of the first things that I said to the wing front office is we're going to be loud on PT. And so you'll see the entire wing front office leave on Tuesday at 14:30 or just a relatively random time and go to the gym and work out as a front office team. You'll see us at the 5Ks. You saw me and Carrie and Chief out at the 5-6 5K last week. You'll see us doing those kind of things. Fitness as a culture or as a baseline, and you'll hear it in the commander's call, it barring an injury, twisting your ankle, running the 5K, it makes everything better. It makes your spiritual health better. It makes your mental health better. It obviously makes your physical health better. It's a stress reliever. Mm-hmm. It builds resiliency in airmen. It gives you a chance to think. It promotes mental clarity. All science-backed things that go with fitness. That, yes, we have standards and there's conditions of being a service member, and we must meet those things. But a solid foundational baseline of fitness, it's paramount to readiness. If you're ready to go at all times, that means you're fit, you're meeting the standards, you're going above and beyond the standards, and it's a part of your life instead of surging to pass the fitness test and then not doing anything, and then surging to pass the fitness test and not doing anything. Something I've been guilty of in my career as well. It goes much better, and you're much less injury prone, and you feel much better about yourself if you have a consistent PT program. I also say it during my commander's call as well. As soon as Secretary Hegseth's guidance came out on the fitness and the fitness program and the standards and the importance of it, I felt empowered to manage my schedule and take on a sense of personal responsibility and go to the gym, find the time during the day to go to the gym, whether it's early in the morning before work, whether it's after work, whether it's during work. If I have an hour and a half to go hit the gym, I felt empowered when that message came from Secretary Hegseth, and you just do it. You just go work out, you feel better. You make better decisions afterwards. You're typing emails better or spreadsheets, whatever it is that you do on the daily. And I really do hope the rest of the wing feels that. And we can help with that. If you see us out there working out, and you see us going to events, I hope that spreads through the wing and people feel empowered to do that.
It has other second, third order effects, not just for yourself. So like growing up on the flight line or adjacent to it, right? Like you have a requirement. I can't go in the middle of the day, or potentially we could, right? I could shut off three or two here or two there, depending on, you know, the goes or whatever. But some of it goes on to the supervisors to reshape their viewpoint on how they're managing their time. Right. And yes, it's easy for me to go to the gym, take a shower, come back to work. You guys, maybe not so much, right? You might care more about your hair than I do, but
yes.
So there's other things to consider, right? But yeah, it can be done. And to the boss's point, it's more of a thought shift while before or after work create, it may be the easiest logistics, maybe, especially if you're surging on a 12-hour shift or something like those. You got to get a little creative and you have to value it. Because I think you said once, which is absolutely true, is when things get busy, one of the first things to go is fitness.
Yeah.
And you have to defend that.
Yeah.
And so it takes energy and intentionality to make sure that doesn't drop off.
I forgot to ask this airman question, and he might kill me if I don't ask it, because he's... when facing a difficult shop situation, whether it is bad leadership or a lack of morale, what would be your best advice for pushing forward?
Yeah, really well thought out question. So I had the privilege of going through Arbinger training. So if anybody out there ever has a chance to, we have trainers within the military, and they're kind of sprinkled around the units. If you're interested in it, it's all about, it's basically emotional intelligence in a box, or it's all about your mindset. And so that's something that you can control, and you alone can control, is your mindset. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of think about this, if I had a long day, I haven't had lunch, I'm a little dehydrated, I start to get a little cynical, and I start to come at stuff from a dark place, and I can sit back and I can go, now wait a second here, this human, this process, this thing is not ill-intentioned. It's my mindset. I'm assuming they're ill-intentioned, or I'm coming at it with a different mindset. And I can take a step back and go, I need to shift my mindset. I need to come at this with relentless optimism. I got to dial up the golden retriever energy and take a moment to do that deliberately. And I can address those situations, kind of what I talked about before, of if I have a challenging leadership or a challenging leader that I need to address, or something within the shop that is difficult, that's sticky, that's dirty, you're getting stuck in the mud. Yeah. If I can adjust my mindset, that is contagious. Because I know if you've been out there and you're in a shop that has a couple contrarians in it or a couple cynics in it, it's very easy for that to spread. It's also very easy for that golden retriever, a relentless optimism, a hopeful mindset to change as well. And it will change how you go about problems and how you address those sticky, dirty situations in a shop there. That's how I do it. It takes deliberate effort. It took some training. I got drug kicking and screaming through Arbinger training. But I came out on the other side and I was like, oh man, that was really good.
Yeah.
So I encourage people to find those military trainers within their units and seek out that training. It really helped me.
In addition to that, people move a lot, right? Yeah. And so most situations are temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do you, right? And keep focus on being the best that you can. And that mindset the boss just described, it is infectious. It mm-hmm. will change, right? You will become an informal leader to help change the culture, whether those other folks have a mental shift or not. You can take care of yourself and your teammates by doing that. And yeah. then if somebody's rotating out, whether it's you, whether it's the boss, whether it's whatever, like there's relatively few things that are very permanent in the Air Force. Due to just our personnel system, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but a lot of times every day can feel like a lot, right? And that's the thing. And sometimes you don't see that light at the end of the tunnel. The other piece mm-hmm. is the answer might not be within your shop, right? And so go get out of it. Go talk to somebody else, right? And see if there's some different things that can help, right?
All right. To make you more along the lines of actual human beings and not just these Air Force gods, let's ask you some normal questions. What song will be playing when you turn your car on right now?
Deftones, My Own Summer.
Nice.
And then I've been really hitting Bad Omens lately. Rock band.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Love
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay. Chief, Spice Girls?
Maybe. I don't know. What are my kids playing? I don't know. I listen to a little bit of everything. So it could be whether it's Christian rock or regular rock or whatever. Some country. It really depends on the mood.
What do you do after a long day of work where you're just like dog tired? What do you do to stay grounded?
I don't get to vote. Like my kids and wife will tell me what we're doing when I get home.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's either playing basketball in this ungodly heat or, they're in the soccer or it's homework or.
Absolutely true. Like your kids dictate what you do
100%.
After.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, I'm taking them to Mosley for soccer. Like, okay. Yeah.
What about you, sir?
I like to try to work out. So Chief kind of outed us already. I'm a little bit of a CrossFit guy and by no means good at it. I have to be good at it because my wife, Carrie, can overhead squat more than I can. So
wow.
I have to. Oh, yeah. So I got to keep up with her, which usually puts me in the gym. Otherwise, I'm left in the dust by her. She's pretty incredible.
That's awesome. Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how accurate is Top Gun Maverick?
Such a good movie. People dog on Top Gun Maverick all the time. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. They gotta, church it up a little bit for the normal audience. But I would say it's pretty accurate. I'm gonna give it like a 7.8 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay. Did you know, sir, that we were going to be a part of a Paramount production?
I did not know that.
Yes, we were when Colonel Watkins was in command. We had Paramount reach out and they wanted to do a series about Checkered Flag.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
But when it came down to it, they wanted to call it Top Gun Air Force.
Absolutely
and the
not.
Navy
yeah.
lost their yeah. minds. And the entire, like, this was a year of work I put into this. And
the title killed it.
The title killed. And they had already spent like $1 million just on like traveling, hiring teams. Oh. It was insane. I cried after that. I put so much work into that. But yeah, so hopefully somebody comes and covers Checkered Flag. I think that would be awesome.
Agreed.
And I know how to do it now, so come on, production teams. Okay, last fun question, and then we'll let y'all leave. Would you rather try to outrun a security forces canine in a bite suit or do 24 hours of admin paperwork?
Easiest question ever. The canine, 10 times over. I've had a couple touch points with the dog handlers. They are awesome.
Oh, they're
they
great.
All have these badges. They call them badges. They have big old bruises on their arms. They're like the badges from the dogs when they get in the suit and they bite them. I can't wait till I get my badge. I need a badge. So for the dog handlers and my defenders out there, it's got to happen. I can't wait to do it. We need to make this happen.
Yeah.
I need my badge.
Chief, are you going to partake in this?
I already have those badges. Oh. But apparently I'm going to get another one.
Yes.
Drag with me.
Team effort. Yes. Our canine team right now is so fantastic. We love Sergeant Lewis and the whole team over there. They help us out so much. And we love when the canines come in for their portraits, their glamour shots.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great. Thank you both so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to get to know you a little bit better and make you more relatable for the Tyndall community. And we hope to have you on very soon.
Awesome. It's a pleasure. It's the honor of a lifetime to lead the Checker Tales. So thanks for leading the podcast here, and we'll see you guys out there.
100%. This is a dream job, and we're fully in it, excited to do it. And we're looking forward to making some changes on Tyndall, so we leave it better than we found it. That's the ultimate goal, right?
All right. We will see you next time, everyone.